Welcome to Come Back My Class, Lecture 3. This is Dr. Mok. Nice to meet you again. Before starting lecture, let me make sure again. You have to have lecture note and print it out before you reading this lecture. Otherwise, you will not be able to understand what I said because my lecture was reduced as much as possible due to limit time in sending file to you. Today, I would like to think about Jesus' leadership and strategy as a leader. What were Jesus' strategies? We can discuss that in 7 different ways. First, strategy of fulfillment. Second, kingdom of God. Third, global strategy. First, people strategy. Fifth, minority strategy. And strange strategy, lastly, 7th strategy of suffering and glory. But I will introduce 3 ways among 7, and then you have to have study other 4 ways by yourself with my lecture notes. Then let's go to topic of people strategy in number 4. Jesus' power, status, and the ability to get through people were not the end, but were tools to be used for kingdom of God. The kingdom of God care more about the people rather than the grand concept of commitment to just cause. When he gave his inaugural speech at the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus read from the prophecy of Isaiah. Let's read it all together. Okay. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoner, to proclaim the year of Lord's favor and the day vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Thank you. Then he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. When John the Baptist was confused and asked, are you the one? What was Jesus' reply? He told the messenger, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind received sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Amen. It was an amazing thing for Jesus to choose the audience as his first target. He did not go to the leaders, the wealthy or the powerful. Of course, he welcomed many from those of elite status and read to him, but he intentionally went to the poor. They will be preached the gospel. When the Pharisee asked the disciple of Jesus why Jesus ate with the sinners, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, who I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And his strategy was to include everyone. Number five, a minority strategy. In his preparation to face the entire world, he intentionally focused on the few people to start his mission. God also worked with the few at the beginning. You know, when Noah and his family were saved from the flood in his ark, he became the pioneer of the new world. Abraham became the seed from which as many children as stars in the sky were born. Judge Gideon had to face the army of Midian at the tremendous disadvantage in terms of the numbers. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hand." Gideon carried out one brilliant military strategy after the other and reduced his army of 22,000 to a completely committed army of how many? Yes, 300. His army terrified his enemy and came out victory through his brilliant tactic. Jesus' minority strategy might be called the strategy of penetration of or infiltration. The metaphor Jesus used showed this clearly. Those who follow Jesus had to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, yeast and hold of the key to the kingdom of God. Or a metaphor of penetration, salt into the food, light into darkness, leaven into loaf, key into the lock. Not a lot of salt is needed to flavor and preserve. As long as the salt is not rubbed into the food, nor does it take a great deal of light to dispel darkness. As long as light is not covered, a teeny bit of fermenting yeast can make a whole roof rise. And the small key can open the great door. This metaphor suggests Jesus' teaching was not the primer for the majority, but a strategy for minority. The world will be moved by a quiet minority, little plethora of men and women who had been with Jesus and whose heart and mind had been changed, living by his spirit as little Christ. No matter how difficult or how smooth, they will be led by the spirit of Jesus and live their life as little Christ and renew the system, army, legislature, families, churches, and the nation from within. Richard Harbison emphasized the small group shown in the metaphor of good seed. Seeds are unrest sitting in the storage barn in order for it to do what it's born to do. You must show them and they penetrate into the soil and die. Into the soil and die. While they do what they are intended to do, they become invisible. Think of a church that have penetrated into the world socially, emotionally, and politically. They have been sown into millions of acres of field. In other words, into the world, and they seem to disappear like a salt and a seed. But they have penetrated into the reality of majority and multiplied the number of his disciples into the millions. Okay, number six, skip, and let's go to next topic, 7. There are two, suffering and glory. There are two stages in Jesus' public life. First stage was where he announced himself as the Messiah to his follower. And the second stage, Jesus is showing what kind of a Messiah he is, one who will go through suffering to glory. In the book of Mark, Jesus called the crowd and his disciple and said, let's read together. Okay. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciple and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. If anyone is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he come in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Why did the follower of Jesus have to take up their cross and follow him? It is because it is the discipleship says, "Follow me," and because it is the road to life. It is the road to life. If anyone lose his life for me and for the gospel, will save it. This is the solution to avoid the eternal humiliation. If anyone is ashamed of me and my word, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. John described the strategy of suffering and glory in other way. Okay, let's together John chapter 12. Yeah, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a corner of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seed. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who served me." This is his suffering and leadership strategy. Therefore, Jesus said the following to show what kind of death he would face. "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Amen. Cross was the core, C-O-R-E. Cross was the core of his strategy. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 say, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The suffering will lead us to glory, and this glory of the glory of Christ's resurrection and return to earth. Repeat after me. The suffering will lead us to glory, and this glory of the glory of Christ's resurrection and return to earth. Okay, thank you. Jesus described again his life through the parable of a tenant. A man rented the vineyard to some farmers, and when he sent his servant to collect rent from them, the farmers beat them and even killed some of them. Finally, the owner of the vineyard sent his son, saying, "Disrespect my son." But the tenant said, "This is the heir. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took the son and killed him as well. Jesus asked the disciple what the vineyard owner should do. Okay, read together. He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this scripture? The stone of builder rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He gradually revealed his strategy. First, Jesus will be recognized as the Messiah. Then he showed what suffering he would endure as the Messiah and what his follower should become. Finally, there will be a final action when Jesus returns. This revolution will be complete, and there will be great joy for some and eternal sadness for the others. Jesus said, true leadership is to seek forth the kingdom of God. You must seek God's reign rather than leadership. The people are important while the methods aren't. The leadership of Jesus is not a set of tools or ideas that is available for any course we might choose. It is a kind of leading that is uniquely adapted for the course God has chosen. Jesus' leadership was not style he adopted, but a reality he expressed. Okay, let me say again. Jesus' leadership was not the style he adopted, but the reality he expressed. So the question for us is not, can I learn from Jesus' certain technique which will make me a more successful revolutionary or entrepreneur or counselor or evangelist? The question is, what end did Jesus pursue? Whatever our career may be, true leadership means to receive power from God and to use it under God's rule to serve people in God's way. Okay, let us make conclusion. First, Jesus' strategy was, my purpose on earth is to expand my Father's kingdom and liberate the people from what has been binding them. Second, pan-global and basic strategy can be accomplished through the devoted few. These devoted few were those who give up everything to follow me. Next, I am sharing my life with them, and since they are with me, they start to think and live like me. Now they will change the world by penetrating every corner of the world as the salt, light, east of God, not through directly confronting the world or through promotion some slogan. 5. This strategy is carried out in two ways. The first path was to face the suffering just like I died for the sin of this world. The second path will be that of victory, where I come back and destroy the force that is against the will of my Father. By loving one another, they show the beautiful world that is to come in the future. They serve the poor and children. They are suffering because of me. They preach the gospel whenever and wherever need. They invite everyone to participate in our movement, including myself. They will be numerous with the hope that is given to them through the power of my spirit and my promise, and not by their own strength. When they finish that work, I will return. Those who have refused me will be kicked out, and those who have served me and followed me will come back to the kingdom of my Father in great joy, and the eternal festival of joy will continue on. Amen. Next topic, the great leader seeking the kingdom of God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In this topic, I would like to emphasize two things. One, value of right time and the importance of a small thing. And you can study others with my lecture note. Okay. Okay, so go to point number four. Okay, waiting for the right time. Waiting for the right time. Knowing the right time is the very essence of leadership. Those who seek the kingdom of God wait for the other's time. In different parables, Jesus talk about waiting and knowing when the right time is in this respect. Okay, let's read together. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like, a man scattered seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleep or get up, the seed sprout and grow, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produced grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he put the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Often, we become overzealous and meddlesome when we start the work of God. In other words, we do not become his disciple, but workaholic of his kingdom. This does not come from obedience of faith, but from anxious caused by failure to believe. Sometimes we fail into the kind of Messiah complex where we are the only one who can save the world, and unless we keep moving, our plan may change. Then we finally give up. Jesus tells us, it is about commitment, but not about working ourselves to death. Jesus tells us this story about the seed that grow while we sleep. Sleep after sowing your seed. God does not have to, but you have to. The seed of God will grow strongly, but sometimes it will take its time. The leader that takes after Christ must wait for the other and their time to come. If we want to get involved in the work of God, you must preserve. The parable of seed is meant to encourage the disappointed and to help the impatient. Sow your seed and wait, then go to sleep. Farmer cannot help his seed grow by staying with them day and night. The work of God is always in process, like the seed in the soil. Therefore, you must never give up just because you don't see anything happening. You must also not force grow in order to make things happen faster. The secret of working at the right time is about knowing when to wait and when to harvest. Jesus knew when God's time was instinctively. God's time was instinctively. He spent 30 years as the carpenter and come out to the public scene at the right time. He knew when to speak and when to remain silent. So when people ask him to heal and perform more miracles, he said, "It is not my time yet." From him, we learn the innate ability to sense the right time, which is the characteristic of all great leaders. Jesus had both the innate ability to know the right time to wait. Right time to wait. The right time to plan and the right time take action. While he also had the determination to know exactly what to do and to do them without hesitation. Hesitation without hesitation, when it was the time to do them. Great leader neither rush nor hesitation. Therefore, knowing when the right time is essential for leaders. Do I have the tendency to hesitate? To be too cautious? Sometimes it's helpful. But I need to be trained more so that I can act quickly when it comes time to do that. Do I have tendency to rush into things? Then I must be more trained in the areas of preparations, self-control, and patience. Sometimes patience becomes the most difficult quality for leaders to have. Leader must think about three questions. Is the dream God's vision? Is this method God's way? Is this God's time? How do you think? Okay, let's go on another topic, importance of small things. Again, Jesus said parable of mustard seed. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Jesus compared the small seed to the largest kingdom of God. If you want to be a leader in the kingdom of God, do not look down at your humble beginning. Yet said, "Your beginning was weak, but your end will be great." No matter how small, if you do it for the glory of God and the pan-global purpose of Jesus Christ, it is no longer a small thing. No longer a small thing. Already went to hear Mother Teresa speak at the luncheon time in Washington, D.C. He was so moved by the speech. He went to Mother Teresa and asked her, "Mother, what can I do half the world?" Mother Teresa asked, "Are you married? Do you have children?" When he said yes, Mother Teresa told her, "Go home, love your husband and love your children." Loving your husband and children is not a small thing if done for the glory of God. However, no matter how great, if that is not for the glory of God and the pan-global purpose of Jesus Christ, then it becomes a tribal thing. whether it is to build the largest home, largest business, largest church, it is not done for the glory of God and the pan-global purpose of Jesus Christ. It is not the great task anymore. Okay, let me give you assignment and the group discussion. One, which of the seven strategies of Jesus is the most important for the spiritual leader? What is Jesus' strategy for the kingdom of God? What impact can Jesus' minority strategy have on your ministry? How does Jesus explain the right time? Where does Jesus' vision came from, and what is the sign of that vision? You forget number five. Where does Jesus' vision came from, and we didn't study. Okay, next lecture will be introduced. Okay, I will give you only four questions for the assignment. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, assignment must be turned in before next lecture 4. Okay, before next lecture. Okay, thank you for listening my lecture. See you next lecture. Okay, thank you. Bye.